Disclaimer, before we get started, we didn't have time for the whole list, 10 through 1, so we're just going to do 20 through 11. Hope you guys enjoy.
What's going on, everybody? NBA Therapy, we're back. We're recording this on a Sunday right now, and we are officially less than a week away from the NBA season from resuming. Thank God, I can't wait. It's July 26th. I'm Nate Dizor. I'm joined by my co-host,
Stephen Pack. What's
and
good?
We're ready. We're so hyped for the season. I cannot wait. Counting down the days till the 31st. It's just, I'm so excited. Honestly, I hope you can tell my voice how you feel.
I'm so excited too. I honestly, even with the Sabonis news, which we'll get into, I'm still so excited.
Yeah, I'm just excited to have normal basketball back, and the scrimmages are cool. You know, most time the starters will sit out in the second half. I don't want to read too much into it. I mean, last night I got a notification, and for the listeners, basically on the NBA app, you can change your notification settings, so it'll notify you whenever there's a close game. And I was notified that the Wizards were beating the Clippers with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So, you know, there you go. Scrimmages aren't really going to show what's going to happen, but it's still cool, and it's still basketball. It's still the best players in the world playing, but I get kind of a summer league vibe to it. How you feel?
Yeah, summer league pretty much sums it up. It's exactly like a summer league. I don't feel like the fans are as big of an issue as some people I've seen on Twitter or whatever. It's basketball. I look at the players. That's really it.
The NBA did a great job with it. It doesn't seem that far-fetched, and most of the camera shot is the court anyway. They did a really good job with it, and, you know, they're still, they spread out the bench in the background. It looks good, and basketball is basketball. The best players are going to be the best players, regardless of who's watching.
That's facts.
So, I need you to walk me through your reaction of when you heard the news about Sabonis' foot.
Honestly, so I'm like a really hardcore Pacers fan, so I follow so many beat reporters, so I kind of knew this was coming. So I didn't
also,
really
it was
like
growing concern.
Yeah, I wasn't shocked. Mm-hmm. I was just more because I was clinging on to that 1% chance. But it's really whatever, I guess. I mean, because now we're going to see how good Miles Turner is, and we're going to put Warren at the four. I'm kind of excited for this new lineup. I mean, we looked really good today in the scrimmage, I know, so.
That's interesting. I thought you'd be more devastated by it, because, you mentioned earlier, what NFL player had a similar injury to this?
Peyton Manning, and he had to get surgery for a year.
So who knows what's going to happen? What are all your sources, all your beat writers telling you about when they're going to, you know, get the news out about what's going on with his foot?
Well, they're reassessing him in 2 weeks, I heard, and I don't want to get my hopes up. I'm going to, assume that he's out. But, so I was on NBA Reddit earlier today with Pacers fans in Pacer Reddit, and I was saying that Miles Turner could maybe break out finally, and they were like, hold up, Sabonis isn't even ruled out. And it kind of got my hopes up. So I'm just in no man's land right now.
Yeah, you don't really know what to think. And is Oladipo, is he in the bubble? Or is he, coming back?
He's been playing the two scrimmages, and he's looked great.
He has, right? I don't know why. For some reason, I thought he wasn't. But, yeah, he's there. So, I mean, the Pacers could make some interesting stuff happen, but Sabonis is going to need their. That's the first injury, hopefully, and the last of any all-star players and huge players. And I know, like you said, a lot of people are voicing concerns about, you know, how the season's looking with the scrimmages, but and just how it looks different with fans. But I'm totally with you on that. It looks great. I noticed when I was watching the Nets game that I heard the local broadcast, but they're not there, right? Or all the local announcers aren't there, right?
I don't believe so. I think that'd be too many people, but I'm not sure about that, actually.
Because I definitely, like, it was definitely the local broadcast, but I couldn't tell if, I think they're not there. I don't know if they're for sure. And, look, I want to get into this list right away. So, for the listeners, last episode, we did part one of this. We're ranking the top 40 players in the NBA in the bubble currently right now in Orlando. We did 40 through 21 on the last pod. So, if you haven't watched that, pause the podcast. Go back, listen to that one, and then come to this. We're going to start up at 20, and let's jump right into it. So I'll just leaving off, here's my 25 to 21, just so we have a gauge of it. 25, I had Jrue Holiday. 24, I had Jaylen Brown. 23, I had Zion. 22, I had Devin Booker. 21, I had Donovan Mitchell. Who'd you have for your 25 through 21?
25, I had Russell Westbrook. 24, Ja Morant. 23, Domantas Sabonis. 22, Kristaps Porzingis. 21, Donovan Mitchell. Also, before we get started, I want to say, like, from the scrimmages, I can see a few things. Like, first of all, Sabonis should not have been that high in my rankings. I didn't know about the injury, and he should not have been that high in the rankings. Duncan Robinson had that big first night.
I knew you'd mention it.
I look like a genius after that one, right?
How many threes did he hit in a row?
I don't know. He hit 5 of 8 on that night. He looked good. Brook Lopez looks good too.
We'll see about that one. We'll see in the playoffs about that one.
Yeah, I should have put T.J. Warren higher maybe, and then Jamal Murray. I wasn't sure. I'm not sure now because of
T.J. Warren didn't make your list, right?
He didn't, but I would now. I would now.
Yeah, he should have been in there. I had him 40, but let's get right into it. Who did you have 20? We both had 21, Donovan Mitchell, so going on next, 20th.
Bobo. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I thought he was serious for a second.
I had Jaylen Brown, so.
Interesting. Yeah. I had him, where did I rank? I ranked him 23rd.
I think he's a top 20 player. Like, he has a lot more experience than people say. Well, I'll get into the basics. So he's, like, he's really selfless. He's fearless.
For sure.
I think he's elite on both ends, or almost near elite. He's a 20-point-per-game scorer, shooting almost 50 from the field, 40 from three. His pull-up three game is dirty, and that's really going to come in handy against Milwaukee.
Really tight handle, too.
Yeah, he can switch on to four positions, which people don't really think of him like that, but he really can.
He seems to get better every year, really.
He really does, yeah.
I love having Jaylen Brown on my team.
What's it? He's shooting 71% at the rim this year. And he's really, like, he's really analytically efficient. 84% of shots
analytics are love him.
He's within 10 feet or from three. He's not taking those 10 to 16 feet out shots. But I want to talk about his playoffs, because people don't understand that he's been a pretty good playoff performer, and he's been there. In the 2018 Cleveland series, he averaged 20 points per game against LeBron in those 7 games.
In game seven, he kind of melted down, but their whole team basically melted down.
Yeah, that was clamps all around from Cleveland.
Him, Rozier, and both Marcuses, Smart and Morris, shot like 5 for 35 or something like that for three. It was like atrocious.
In the 70s. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that was
right?
A really awesome game. That was a really dope game.
Yeah, we watched that one together.
Yeah, we were so hyped that day. But yeah, Jaylen looked like he looked comfortable. Not in game seven against LeBron, but in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, since he came into the league, he's played 44 playoff games over the 3 years, which is more than Westbrook, LeBron, Harden, and Kawhi.
At that age, right?
What do you mean? Like, since he came into the league.
Like since 2016. Yeah, that's more playoff games.
2017.
Than,
yeah, he's played more playoff games. Yeah, than those guys.
2016 draft, yeah, 2017 first playoffs.
And then
that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Over the past 2 years, he has as many 20-point playoff games as PG and CP3, and he has more 20-point games than Westbrook, Kyrie, and Butler. So I'm not saying he's a better playoff performer than these guys, but he showed up in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. I love Jaylen Brown. Honestly, I would have ranked him higher, but I just, it's not that I don't trust him. It's just that I think there's a ceiling to what he can do. And I think a lot of players that I have ranked higher than him just have a higher ceiling.
Yeah, that's true. I feel the same way, but I feel like, I don't know, I trust him more than guys like Donovan. Yeah.
I know it's tough because Donovan Mitchell also has shown up. I mean, yeah. We're in the top 20, so basically all these guys have showed up at least once. Number 20, I have Chris Middleton. Did you say him yet?
I have him one spot higher.
Yeah, I have Chris Middleton this spot. He gets a lot of crap from the Raptors series, like we mentioned, above 14 points one game. He didn't look amazing, but again, a lot of players in the Bucks didn't look too good. And against Boston, he dominated them both times they played them, 2019 and 2018, played really well. And he just, I think it's kind of flown under the radar, but he looks better this year. Like you said, similar player in Jaylen, where he can switch off of a forward. He's great on defense. I want to say he's shooting like, not 50-40-90, but it's like 49.9 from the field.
No, yeah, he's 49.9. He's 0.1 away from 50-40-90.
So basically 50-40-90. And again, the Bucks are up by 20 and like at half in most of all their games. And it's not just because of Giannis, but it's also because of Middleton. Middleton definitely has to show up for these playoffs. These are going to be huge for the Bucks, just depending on how he plays, because honestly, it'll probably impact Giannis' decision in free agency next summer. But I love Chris Middleton's game. Not selfish, can play off ball, but also when he has the ball, doesn't seem like he's dominating it. Tight handle, can get to the rim, pull up from three, can run pick and roll. I love Chris Middleton.
I honestly thought I had him really low. And then I saw your, I mean, not really low, but I thought I had him low. But you have.
I could have put him a few spots higher, but the only reason I didn't is just because in the playoffs, it was bad against Toronto. Like, he almost like shut off. And that's a little unfair because they were the champs that year to Chris Middleton. But it was a little scary. And in the Boston series, I mean, he was good. He still like dominated, but his stats did slip a little bit. And you know,
this year per 36 minutes, he's averaging 25 points per 36.
Giannis probably has ridiculous per 36 stats.
Yeah.
That whole Bucks team is just ridiculous. It makes no sense why they just destroy everyone, but they do.
It's cruel. It's cool.
All right, so number 19th, I believe you mentioned him earlier. I have Kemba Walker.
I don't know how you can put him that high.
Yeah,
because
I know the hip injury. He hasn't played a playoff game since like 2014, whatever. This is my thing on Kemba. Look, I know that Jaylen Brown is better, Tatum is better, but this is where we have to understand that you can't look at the stats with Kemba, because I really feel that he's one of the best teammates in the league. Look, I know Jaylen and Tatum got better, but for their development, Kemba's the perfect guy. Will play off ball, doesn't have to dominate, can pretty much get by anyone when he gets that low for a cross. And I know the injury stuff. I know he's a small guard. We all have questions about how small guards do in the playoffs. But just as a teammate, a leader, and a guy you'd want to play with, I'd put him maybe top five on that list. I remember there was this old Charlotte Instagram photo, like 2017 Kemba posted, and he just like randomly gave the whole team speakers, just randomly in like 2017 for that Charlotte team when he was clearly the best player. Like, dudes love playing with this guy. He's just a great teammate. And I really think it's affected how Jaylen's been playing, how Tatum's been playing, Smart, Tice, everyone.
So you think he's the second best guy on the Celtics?
I do. One healthy.
Defensively, he's not there. Like, I know that defense is Like, I'm a proponent of defense not being nearly as close to as important as offense.
You are with your boy Curry.
But he's... It's not like he's been playing outstanding on the offensive end. He hasn't been that great in the clutch this year.
I get it, but I just love how great of a teammate he is. And I don't think Tatum would be doing this if Kyrie was still on that team, or subtract Kemba from that team. Steven, where would you have ranked Boston last year?
Last year? But Kyrie, like,
they're third now. We have them both third. You have them second, right?
In terms of what?
You have Boston second as the second best team in the league right now, right? After Lakers?
No. I've got Clippers second best.
Oh, I see. For some reason on the first podcast, I thought you said that.
No, I think they'll make the finals. I don't know.
So they're a top three team. We can both agree on that. We think that.
Yeah.
Kemba's a huge part in that. And he's probably their best playmaker. Yeah, he is. He's their best playmaker. Makes guys better. I'm telling you, bro. Kemba's their second best player.
I have to see it. I just really, like, with him, fair. I really have to see it. Because I don't know how he's going to be as a number two or a number three. I've seen him as a number one his whole career. And, like, I'm talking playoffs. Like, I don't know how he's going to be in the playoffs.
I get it.
Like, he could be outstanding. Yeah.
Who do you have number 18?
Yeah, in Middleton, 19. 18, I have Jimmy Butler.
Oh, that's right. Ooh.
So I'm not as high as...
a little higher.
Yeah, I'm not as high as other people are on Jimmy Butler.
Wait, you have Jimmy Butler here, and you haven't mentioned Bam yet. Okay, that's interesting.
we'll get into that. So he's shooting 24% from three, 28% from 16 at 3-point range, and 39% from 10 to 16 feet out. So, and he's shooting 34% on jump shots, which Ben Simmons has a higher percentage than him. Like,
oof, that's rough.
Like, he's really been a bad jump shooter this year, which, like, he's got to fix that quick because the playoffs are coming soon. And he's also been bad in the clutch. In the fourth quarter, he's shooting 36% from the field and 25% from three. And in the clutch,
to be fair, a lot of guys, he shoots 36% in the clutch.
Yeah.
To be fair, a lot of guys shoot under 40.
Okay, and in the clutch,
even top players.
In the clutch, he's shooting 28%, 28% from the field and 15% from three. He's cost the Heat a few games that would have put him higher in the East standings. So I don't know how I feel about him. Like, another thing to me is that, like, he's a great leader, but I've never seen him take over and win playoff games. That's the thing.
Like,
which game? He's only had one game.
When he was on Chicago. And they played Boston. Remember they were up 2-0 in the series? They were the 8th seed, and they were playing the 1 seed Celtics with the Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Al Horford team. And they were up 2-0 in the series. And then Rondo got out, who was playing like north of 30 minutes, and then it just kind of ruined them because they just had no guards to play. But Jimmy was great in those games.
I get that, but if
and he looked like the best player
1-8 seed game, what did he lose in 6 or 7? Like, if that's the biggest testament of...
I don't know. 6, I think.
If that's the biggest testament of how good of a playoff performer Jimmy Butler is, I'm not sure I can put him that high. And also, like, his trade request and him leaving Philly, to me, it kind of feels like he just folds at the first sign of trouble. Like, he's been right, but he kind of folds. Like, he's not...
I don't know. That's fair, but I think part of that is just because he doesn't think he can win with those guys. I like to point this out. When he leaves Chicago, they lose more. They don't make the playoffs. When he leaves Minnesota, what are they doing now? When he was healthy on Minnesota, they were a 4 seed. When he was with Philly, they were game 7 away from being the champs. When he's off of Philly, they're like a 6 seed. When he's off Miami, they're not in the playoffs. When he's with Miami, the dude clearly impacts winning. We can all see that. And by all accounts, he's been an amazing leader this year for Miami. Whether it's showing up at 3 a.m. workouts or doing that hilarious slam interview with Tyler Herro and Bam Adebayo, you can just tell he rubs off on these guys well. And it kind of goes like with my case for Kemba, which is why I have him higher. I have Jimmy Butler higher than 18th. At 18th, I actually have his teammate, Bam Adebayo. I'll let you speak more about him because I know you have him higher. I love Bam. I think Jimmy's the leader, alpha of the team. He'll get the ball in crunch time. He's the guy you want to get a bucket. But, man, Bam is he's ridiculous.
He's great.
You can't look at the stats for him. He's basically Draymond Green.
He's Draymond Green with – well, he's a better scorer than Draymond.
He's a better scorer. He decides their whole offense pretty much when Jimmy doesn't have it.
Yeah, I think he's better for in terms of guys I would want to win a playoff meaningful game than Jimmy Butler.
Bam will be very fun in those playoffs. We'll debate when you get to Butler or we'll debate it when you get to Bam. Who do you have 17th?
I've got Bam at 17.
Oh, perfect.
I didn't really write too much stats because I think he's one of those guys that the box score. He's the reason that Miami has a shot at holding down Giannis, Embiid, or Siakam. Like, it's going to be him. He's the perfect archetype.
Jimmy will help switch on that. You don't think so? Maybe not Giannis, but Siakam.
Adebayo was the biggest reason that they got, I think they got two wins over the Bucks this year with Giannis. I think Adebayo was like the biggest reason why. And considering they're probably going to have to face Giannis in the second round, give me Adebayo over Butler any day. And yeah, I mean, Adebayo's right there in terms of scoring.
As a leader, as a decider of ultimately what happens, as who am I giving the ball to? I need a bucket when we're down two. I mean, you could bring up the clutch stats, but Jimmy's getting the ball. And we've at least seen him hit multiple big shots before. And also about Jimmy, again, you really can tell that he's been sacrificing this year. You can tell that you look at his stats, it's like 22, 5, and like 4. That's nothing special. But just the effect he has on those guys and that team is just, it's amazing. And he's really impressed me with how great of a leader he's been. So I have him a little higher.
I mean, the thing about Bam is first of all, Jimmy Butler, the reason I don't have him over Bam is because he's been so bad at closing and because he's been so bad at shooting this year. Like, that's the reason I couldn't consider him over a lot of these guys.
I mean, if Bam isn't within 10 feet, how effective will he be on offense? When you talk about scoring.
I mean, you can't really take away 10 feet from the basket. You can say that about a lot of guys.
I saw them take it away from Giannis, and Giannis is much better than Bam.
But Butler is, he's a guard. Like, he's that team's guard, and he's their closing player. Like, he should be able to make these shots, and he's shooting so inefficient on jump shots. Like, I just couldn't put him higher. I know what he's been as a leader, and I'm all about the leadership. But the leadership can only take you so far when you're not really doing too much to create opportunities for the rest of your guys.
I just think he impacts winning. Every team he's left or has been with is worse without him, and he's better with them. And it's been 4 teams. Like, it's a pretty big sample size.
Let's be real. Everyone on this top 20 impacts winning in a pretty huge way. So.
Well, yeah, but he's been doing it for a little longer than people think. I'm just saying. I mean, he's been doing it longer than Bam. This is Bam's first All-Star.
People think Jimmy Butler, like, from the past, is this really, like, tough, clutch guy. And he's been really clutch. Yeah, don't get me wrong, but...
That's the highlights, yeah. You look at the highlights and you see him on it.
He hasn't overperformed in the playoffs. I can't remember.
I get that. And like you say before, you'll take a guy who's never been in the playoffs versus a guy who struggled.
Yep.
Number 17th, I have Ben Simmons.
I can't believe you have him this low. I can't.
I already know you have him higher. you're so irrational about Ben Simmons. Look, I mentioned it before. Overnight became one of the best defenders in the league. But let me just say this. You want to talk about playoffs. You want to talk about previous playoffs, how you don't look like a guy who struggled. Did you not watch the Raptors series? He didn't know where to go on the court. And I don't want to talk down to him because I have him 17. I think that's a good spot for him. He's been great. The injuries has also been a thing. If the season wasn't canceled and coronavirus never happened, he would have been out probably the first round and maybe some of the second. And when you take into account the injuries, playoffs last year, I can't put him top 15. What, do you have him top 12, top 15?
The thing about that Raptor series is I go back and watch those games, or when I did watch those games, I'm just thinking, like, every time Embiid isn't involved or Embiid isn't on the floor, man, Ben Simmons looks so good. And that really is the story of his career.
Whose fault is that he can't play with Embiid? Is that his fault or Embiid's?
Well, I can get into that later. I can get into that later, but I think that if you trade one, you trade Embiid. Embiid's the one who's got to go.
Well, we've talked about this before, and I'm with you, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's the better player. It just means, like,
fit-wise. I think he is the better player. Return.
You think Ben Simmons is a better player?
We'll get into that. I'll get into that.
Oh my!
It's gonna get real. This podcast.
Forget about it.
Get real.
Oh my god! All right. Speaking of getting real, you know who I have at number 16?
Who do you have?
Russell Westbrook. Now, look, it's crazy. Steven, you think this is high? Most of the world thinks this is low, number 16 for Russ. Let me just say.
I know.
Look, I get it. I get the playoff struggles. I get it. I clearly get it. But you have to acknowledge that he looks way better on Houston. It's totally reinvigorated himself. That offense is totally reinvigorated him with all the spacing where he basically can get by anyone he wants. And look, like, say what you want, but he's still a great playmaker. He still can get to the rim almost whenever, pretty much whenever he wants. He's still one of the top five guys, I'd say, athletically in the league. And he still plays his heart out every single night. And just, it's like, think about it. Think about it this way. It's not fun playing Russell Westbrook because you know he's going to be coming at you again and again and again and again. And I know guys like Damian Lillard get the best of him, but that doesn't mean it was easy. Russ will always make you work for it. And he even did it with Steph Curry. I know Steph Curry would get the best of him, but he would still give him problems. And look, I think we talk about winning. I get why you have him a little lower. That's totally fair. Totally fair. But in his defense, he's looked great this year. And that's what I'm basing it off of this year.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like he can be a centerpiece or a really key part of a championship team?
I can't say yes to that after those previous years. I can't.
Exactly. That's the difference.
But to be fair, he's been thrown in the spotlight as a number one and number two player. How many guys in this league can be a number one, number two player on a championship roster? We haven't mentioned any of them yet.
Well, I think actually everyone in my top 20 can be.
If they're playing with 2013 LeBron or 92 Jordan or 91 Jordan.
Let's be real. Jaylen Brown or Chris Middleton, if the Celtics or Bucks make the finals, they're number two options.
Do you think they're going to be the Lakers or Clippers?
I mean, we're just talking on a finals team. I don't even know if Westbrook
is Westbrook a championship guard?
I mean, all right, let's talk finals teams. Like,
he's been there.
I can't see Westbrook.
He got there once.
You know what's crazy? I think he was... I don't know why he... I don't know how I feel about his finals appearance.
No, well, I just... if I recall, when we were having our KD Steph Curry debate, you pointed to a few games where Russell Westbrook outplayed KD, but now those games just don't exist.
That's why I'm confused, because those games, like, I think though, like, his best games of his playoff career were all pre 2015-16, but like a lot of them were during that young Westbrook time.
And that team's spacing was atrocious. Now the Rockets have the most spacing out of pretty much anyone in the league. You don't think that matters? He can go downhill on anyone.
The Rockets would have the most spacing in the league because of their play style. They can throw out four G League guys out there as long as they can shoot.
Helps Russ.
We'll see. How about this? I know we're not looking too much into the scrimmages and all, but this is really indicative of how Westbrook has been his career. At halftime of that scrimmage, the Rockets scrimmage, he had a minus 10 plus minus, and he played 16 of 20 minutes. And the game was tied at half. The game was tied at half. And his box score might have been the most Westbrook line I've ever seen.
10 points,
9 rebounds, 10 points on 5 of 12 shooting, 0 for 3 from 3, and 4 turnovers. Like, this just sums up who Westbrook is.
Bro, it's a scrimmage. He's just trying to get the ball rolling. Like, are you serious right now?
If it was, like, somebody else with those numbers, it would be a different story. But Westbrook's been, like, that guy. And it's just, he's been putting up the same type of games. Like, he doesn't change.
Look, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, you know, we have to look. I'm still gonna hold out faith just because he plays so hard. But no, if you want to be honest with me, I don't think he's gonna overperform in the playoffs. I just think he's that great of a player that you can't have him lower than the top 20. You just can't.
See, he's
regardless. Who do you have at 16?
That good of a say he is that good of a player though, because he believes he's better than that. That's what makes him worse. Because he thinks he's better than he is, that's the reason why I have him. Like, if we're talking talent, he's top 20. But because he thinks his talent is top 5, top 10, or top 1, like, that's the reason why Westbrook ruins the team in the playoffs.
You're breaking a lot of Westbrook fans' hearts right now.
I know. They're going to be really mad at me. I can already tell.
Look, I can't even say you're wrong. I really can't, because I know what he does in the playoffs, and he just has this thing where he likes to take his teams out of games and just try to play Batman and be the superhero, and it very rarely works. And in that Trailblazers series, he was caught up in that Dame matchup where, like, he almost cared about outplaying Dame more than winning. Look, I know it gets bad. I just think as a talent in a league, I put him higher, but that's all fair. Who do you have at 16?
I've got Chris Paul.
I have CP a little higher.
To put him higher, I like some guys. So he's the catalyst for OKC's surprise year.
Oh, and for sure.
Yeah, he's been durable this year. He's only missed one game.
Oh yeah.
And injuries have always been the problem. Like, this year, even with the hiatus, he's played more games this year than his previous 3 years. So,
yeah,
like, his durability is good this year.
I love it. I'll get into it more when he comes up on my list. He's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Who do you have at 15? What were you saying? My bad.
Should I just throw out some things right now, or should I wait till you get to Chris Paul?
No, wait till we get to Chris Paul, because we're both huge CP fans. Who'd you have at 16? Oh, no, you had Chris Paul. Who'd you have at 15?
I mean, who would you have at 16?
Russ.
Oh, that's right. I had Zion Williamson.
So, I was wondering when he was going to come up on your list. Make the case, because I had him like 8 spots lower.
I'm not a believer in this. He's only played 19 games. Well, some guys, you can just tell, they're just that good. By game 3, I could tell Zion was an elite NBA player. And with him, everything on the court changes. He's fluid. He doesn't need the ball in his hands. He always makes the right play. Everything he does is in the flow of the game. And unintentionally, he's a great analytical player. He leads the league in field goals made in the restricted area, which is, like, you know where the restricted area is. And the rest of his shots are coming from the 3-point line. He's instilling so much fear on defense, and he's so explosive on offense. But he doesn't pick up fouls, and he's so disciplined. Like, he doesn't foul very often.
Yeah, because half the time his man will blow by him on defense.
No, don't give me that. Because of Zion, the Pelicans have the lowest fouling rate in the league when he's on the floor. Per 36, he's averaging 29 a game. And when Ingram's off the floor, that number's jumping to 34.
Well, that's the whole rub with him, is that he's not always on the court. And I don't think I've seen him play one game where he's not on a minutes restriction. And I'm sorry if I don't have him in my top 15, because he's played less than 20 games. And it's not that he's played that little. It's just that he's missed so many more games. And that's my biggest concern with it. Do I know if Zion's going to be durable, as can play multiple months in the playoffs? I don't know. I have to see it. So
the thing with Zion is I would take that risk because of how good he is. But let me just continue with Zion. So his on and off rating is a plus 14, which has to be like one of the highest in the league. He's also played a lot of minutes with bench guys. With the starting five of him, Ingram, Ball, Holiday, and Favors, they have a plus 26 net rating, which is the highest in the league. When he's on the floor, the Pelicans have, like, I think I saw a stat, they have, like, the second-best net rating to the Bucks. They've become the best team at the rim when Zion is on the court by a mile. And you love Zach Lowe. I love Zach Lowe. Here's a stat he brought up. With Zion on the court, they're shooting 50% of their shots at the rim. The league leader right now is the Bulls with 40%. And with Zion on the court, they're shooting 17% of their shots from mid-range, which is lower than the analytical Rockets. And also, they went from a bottom 10 offense and defense to a top 10 offense and defense when Zion's on the court. And their defense is, I think it's...
And how often is Zion on the court? You keep bringing up all these stats where he's on the court. I get he's good, but look, you faulted me for having Kemba high because of his knee injury, but you have Zion 15th and he's played less than 20 games and anybody
Zion
else on this list?
Zion does a whole lot more than Kemba does when he's on the floor.
Yeah, and Kemba's also been on the floor way more than Zion.
Zion's going to be on the floor. He was in great shape.
You're acting like you know this. Well, listen to his track record. At Duke, injured. Summer League, played a few games, injured. Is finally back, minutes restriction. I got to see him play 36 a night routinely. That's it. Look, that's it. I'm not going to critique his game, but you got to be on the floor.
If he's playing 30 a night,
I forgot the quote again. Say it, Steven. What's the quote? Accountability. What is it?
Availability is the best ability.
Yes, and he does not have that ability right now.
Okay, so you wouldn't take Zion's 30 minutes a game. I would take Zion's 30 minutes a game over Kemba's 36.
Would you take Kemba playing a 7-game series compared to Zion playing 5 games in those series?
How do you know he's playing 5 games?
Because he hasn't played most of the games this season. So I don't know if he's going to get injured or whatnot. I'm going off this season. And what I've seen this season is that he's mostly not on the court. Something against him is just I have to see him more. Look, if he comes out,
honestly,
I expect him to be amazing. Like, I just have to see it in, night out. Because we've seen this happen with so many guys where injuries can derail them. And look, I know he changed his body and it's kind of unfair to be like, I don't know how he's going to look with it. Because obviously, I think, you know, he looks amazing. Looks better than I think he did before. But we've never seen a guy look like him play with such force and, like, torque. I don't know how you thought about it. But to me, honestly, Derrick Rose was like a ticking time bomb. Because he would just play with so much force and, like, torque. And he was so explosive. And it just didn't seem like he had control. And I think Zion is just jumping out of the gym right now. And I don't know if he's going to get hurt or whatnot. And I wouldn't want to risk it.
Look, if we're talking, like, injuries aside, I probably would have Zion a lot higher. I think 15 is reasonable considering his injuries. Like, let's be real.
You have
injuries,
him top 10? You'd have him top 10.
If we're talking about how much he brings to the game, the impact he's had on the Pelicans, how good of a team they've been with him. They're like all metrics. They've been top three.
What's their record with him? All right, so I looked up the Pelicans' record when Zion plays, and they're 11-9. So nothing crazy. I know what the stats tell you, but for those games, Zion's only playing about 26 to 27 minutes, so his impact can't be that much because he's only playing like half the game.
again, I'm looking at when he's on the court, how good they are. And when he's on the court, they're one of the best teams in the league.
I'm not disputing that, but he isn't always on the court. That's all. That's really it.
I can't imagine a case where Zion isn't, like, in terms of impact, can we admit, like, he's top 12, right?
He might be. He really might be. It's a
just
whole different
how much
game.
We value injuries. And, I mean, yeah. I guess I would rather just take the best guy.
Yeah, I get that. Well, who I had at number 15 was Pascal Siakam.
You know what? I can't complain that much about that. I wanted to put him lower, like first around Raptor. That range. I wanted to put him around that range, but I mean, first Raptor was Marc Gasol, my guy. Come on now.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That delusional pick.
And Van Fleet too. But what I'm saying is,
what am I saying?
If I put Siakam lower, and I put Zion higher, you would have been disappointed.
Yeah, because that would have been ridiculous. Well, you didn't have to do that. Well, here, I'll let you go on Siakam because you have him a little higher. But it doesn't make sense how Siakam gets 25 a night. Because I watch him, and he can barely dribble. And he just gets a straight line to the basket every time he goes for it. And I can't fault the dude because he gets it done. Great rebounder, can switch on defense, and champion. I mean, he's proven it. What did he score in game one? 32 points? Shot 12 for 14 from the field last year in the finals in game one?
Yeah, I think it was 14 for 17. He won
game
for them.
Yeah, it was bonkers. And he was ridiculous. Proven playoff guy. He's great. It's just who neither of us have mentioned yet. I have his teammate, and I bet we're about to get into him, a little bit higher. Mainly because of the leadership stuff.
Yeah, same. I have, a little bit higher because of leadership stuff.
I think we both agree that he's higher than Siakam.
Yeah, for sure. I like Siakam too, and Siakam's kind of made me really realize that there's so many guys out there. I mean, I've always known this, but like there's so many guys out there in the NBA who could be like so great, and it's really the organization or the team they're on that's holding them back. Like, if Siakam can be that guy, a lot of guys can. But no, Siakam is a great player. You have him at 15.
Are there any guys in the league who you think could be in a really bad scenario? Like, who would you trade for right now if you're a GM?
Honestly,
Miles Turner might be one.
He's on the Pacers. I like Miles Turner, but here's the thing.
Well, not bad situation, but just, bad fit.
Yeah, I think there's... I mean, you can never really tell. It's like...
Yeah. It's Victor just Oladipo time to was tell. Probably... Victor Oladipo was that guy when he was on OKC. And...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're really good at that stuff. The Pacers.
Yeah, Sabonis was on that OKC team, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, 15-9 Siakam, nonetheless.
Yeah, Siakam, he's a really big game guy. Should I get into him now or a little bit later?
No, say when you have it. Who do you have at 14?
I've got Damian Lillard. I don't know how you can put him higher when he's been healthy most of the
and
year.
And they're
not the playoffs,
right?
Yeah, they're... This is where they are. I couldn't put him higher.
It doesn't make sense to me. I think the biggest thing they lost from last year is their wing defenders, most notably Aminu, Mo Harkless, and I think I'm forgetting a few names. But they haven't lost any big-name players, and you'd assume they'd make the playoffs with a healthy team, except for Nurkic, but they just...
What if you got to start Whiteside at center, which is like...
And what Whiteside's an abomination. Whiteside is an abomination, to be fair. We both...
Oh, yeah.
Look, he leads the league in blocks, I'm pretty sure, per game, but that's only because that's all he tries to do. He'll get one
Anyone
block,
who knows
and his
the game
man will blow
tell.
By him. Yeah, his man will blow by him 15 times, and then he'll get, like, one block, and that's all you'll see in the stats. I just think what he did in the playoffs last year and, you know, the leader he's been on that team, honestly, that team does not play defense. It isn't, it's not the best fit for him right now, especially because they have a lot of ball stoppers and a lot of guys who mostly just get their own shot, like Carmelo, like CJ McCollum. Not faulting that style of play. It can work, but it doesn't work when you have your three best players pretty much only doing that. I think it'll be great when Nurkic is back. He's playing in the scrimmages, but you got to have Damian higher than 14th.
No, I think, like, he's a great player.
He's like the third best guard in the league.
Yeah, he means everything to that team, but the thing is, they're not even in the playoff picture, and he's been healthy most of the year. Like, let's be real. Like, are we really putting him as a top 10 player?
If he's... Honestly, I don't... I have him pretty close to your ranking, so... I don't really know what I'm getting worked up over. I have him close to your ranking, though.
The thing is, he couldn't be lower because, like, at that point, it'd just be like, it's Damian Lillard.
Cannot do that. That's ridiculous.
But I also think his playoff stretch last year was a bit overblown. He played great against OKC. But his second round in Western Conference Finals, he played poorly in. So, game ability to me is overrated. That's to me. Yeah. So I've got him at 14.
Interesting.
I mean, he does mean a lot to that team. They're 2-6 without him. Like, they need him. But
they need him in all caps. I think you have him a little low. I think you're shortchanging him.
But then again, they need him, but even when they do have him, their ceiling isn't that high.
They made it to the Western Conference Finals with him. So that was pretty good.
I don't know. That team was I don't even know what it was about that. I don't know how that team went to Western Conference Finals.
Well, they did.
They did. But it's a new year. So I've got Damian Lillard at 14.
Number 14, I have Kyle Lowry. The other
you
Raptor.
You got him boy. So low. So low. That's terrible.
That's low?
That's low.
Look, I get that he's a great player as your second best player, but let me talk about this real quick. Every single player that I have ranked higher than him, I've seen this player as a number one option do better things. Except for maybe one person, one or two people. Look, I love Kyle Lowry as much as you do. He's one of the most disrespected. Even after the 2019 NBA playoff season, he's still one of the most disrespected players in the league. He means so much to that team in winning, and he just single-handedly wills them to win sometimes. Just... Look, and I'll say this with CP3 too. In that All-Star game, I know it's an All-Star game, in the closing minutes, the final 10 that were in there, he totally looked like he belonged. He doesn't care who's on the court with him. He looks like he belongs. And he's just a dog. He plays hard 100% of the time. But you also have to take into account that in the Philly series, he struggled bad. You know, he's never averaged over, I think, 20 points per game in the playoffs recently as a number two option. I think he might have with DeRozan, but I can't remember as much as well because that team, like you always argue against DeRozan too, would always crumble in the playoffs. And look, I love what he does, but as a ceiling raiser, I can't put him in the top 10.
I mean... You're talking number one option. He's the number one option right now on the Raptors. And they're, what, top five record in the league? Top five team in the league? Like, he's the number one option for the Raptors right now, you know?
Well, no. I think he's the number one ball handler, but their number one option is Siakam. And also, with that Toronto
No, he's the number one option. That's like saying Anthony Davis is the Lakers' number one option.
No, but LeBron dictates everything for that team on offense.
Kyle Lowry dictates the whole offense.
Yeah, but you have to, like, also, that's also coaching. And the thing about this Toronto, like, I have to see in the playoffs first with this Toronto team for me to say, if they beat Milwaukee or Boston, then yeah, fine, okay. But I don't know if they can do that. I love Toronto as much as the next guy. And it's kind of unfair to say I have to see it because they just won the championship. What else do they have to prove? And I love Kyle Lowry, but what? Do you think he's a better player than Damian Lillard?
Lowry's been the number one number two option on a championship team.
Yeah, Damian Lillard was hoping, on that team with Kawhi.
No, we're hoping Paul George is a number two option on the championship team. That's best case scenario right now.
Well, you always like to say, are they winning the title if Golden State stays healthy? No, they're not. So it's kind of it's a little unfair to say championship roster because they weren't winning the championship if Golden State
titles
stays healthy.
Titles take luck, but
no, like don't do that. You make the same argument with Curry. You can't have it both ways.
You know, all right, we're not going to get into the whole title concept right now. I just think that Kyle Lowry, number two option on a championship team. Paul George wants to do that. Damian Lillard, I don't even know if he'd make sacrifices to do that. And everyone else on this list.
I think he would if he was playing with someone better than him.
Can't confirm that, but
I mean, Damian Lillard's like, he's a great teammate, great leader. I think he so would. He sacrifices.
Lowry could drop 25 a game. He just knows what it takes to win. Let's be real. Didn't he average, what, 22 a game before?
His game isn't scoring, like, in volumes. That's not his game. If he were to score 25, it would throw off everything. When a guy like Damian Lillard gets 25, it doesn't throw off the flow of the game because that's his game.
No, the difference between Damian Lillard is looking for his points. Kyle Lowry takes what the defense gives him. That's what makes Kyle Lowry.
So Damian Lillard was just trying to score in the playoffs. He didn't really care about winning. He just tried to score. Same thing with Kevin Durant.
Damian Lillard literally came out with a quote that said, I don't care if I win a ring. I'm more about like Portland or loyalty about something like that. I mean, I get the loyalty part, but let's be real. Like that was pretty indicative of how he feels about being the best player on the team. Also, Kevin Durant.
What? He said he wants to stay in Portland. What's wrong with that?
He also threw in something about like, I don't care if I don't get a ring.
Yeah, but also maybe he just loves playing with Portland and he loves his teammates and he doesn't want to move. And maybe it's just that simple. Maybe he just loves being and playing in Portland with his guys.
He said he didn't care if he didn't get a ring though.
Yeah, because he loves playing there so much. Well, you think that's
different? Kyle Lowry would care.
Obviously, Lillard cares about winning, but his point is, I think it was more about ring chasing, because he said this when like everyone was changing teams. How many guys in the All-Star game have never changed teams before? Him, it's Lillard, Curry, that's it. Bam, all the young guys, obviously. I'm talking about like the vets in the league. I think him saying that was more of like, look, I don't want to go title. I don't want to win titles chasing. I want to win one with Portland. I think that's what he was saying. And he was saying, if I don't, that's cool, but I'm still going to do what I can in Portland. I don't think he was saying like, oh, I don't really care if we win or not. I just want to play ball. Like, I don't think that's what it was.
So you have Paul George over Lowry.
Yeah. Is that a problem?
I mean, he wants to do what Kyle did. Number two option of Kawhi Leonard on a championship team.
Bro, they're not winning the title if Golden State stays healthy. Like, how many – like, you know it's true. You know it's true. Yeah, I know. We know it's true.
Listen, there's
You're turning a lot me into a Kyle Lowry hater. I love Kyle Lowry. I just don't think he's the top 10 player in the league. I think that's okay.
My thing is he's hold on. How did you even know I had him top 10?
Because I know you.
Here's the thing. He's one of the top 10 guys who gives you the best chance to win a meaningful game of basketball. That's what I care about.
So how confident are you that Portland beats OKC if you just take out Lillard and put Lowry in his shoes?
That's not doing that. You love doing
because you like to say what Kyle Lowry does, but you don't bring up how he would do. Look, it's so much easier being the number two option than the number one. And I know it's a great skill and just a great, you know, belief to have about yourself where You know when to sacrifice and you know when to take a backseat. But you want to know why he is sacrificing? Because he knows he isn't the best player. Lillard was clearly the best player on Portland, and I think it'd be way different if Kyle Lowry's there. It's just they have different games. Lillard has been a number one option. Lowry has, again, you're right. This year, he's their best player. He is their number one option then, which is, you know, he decides most of their stuff on offense. I agree with that. I'm just saying, we talk about in the playoffs, like, just willing your team to win as a number one option. Like, it's much easier to be Kyle Lowry when Kawhi is on the court. But,
dude, I'm just saying,
if Toronto gets to the Eastern Conference, I'd rather have a number one option on my team than a number two. That's it. That's really all I'm saying.
If Toronto gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, Kyle Lowry's the number one option. He's gone as far as Damian Lillard has as a number one option.
If he plays well and they get to the Eastern Conference Finals this year, when we do our All-NBA teams, he might be first team for me. Like, I love Kyle Lowry. You know I do. I'm just saying, like, I can't put him top 10. I can't. There's too many guys that are just better as a ceiling raiser.
If we're talking what position these guys got drafted into, like, take out, like, that Luka at point guard or LeBron at point guard, Kyle Lowry is the best point guard in the league right now. Crazy.
I'm not big on positions. You know me. Like, basketball's positionless. I don't really care
about
that.
I'm just saying, we're talking guys who were drafted into their positions or like they're the position that they really were. Lowry's the best point guard. I mean, who's this comp? Like,
Damian Lillard a good point guard? I think he's pretty good.
No, they are good, but would you have them over Lowry? I mean,
I have CP3 over Lowry. Yeah, I do. Number one option on OKC. Did you think that team was even making the playoffs before the season? OKC. That team is completely defied expectations, and Chris Paul is their freaking leader, and he decides everything for that team on offense. Been great on defense, great on offense. Like, shares the ball, fits in. He's number one. He's the number one option, and he's not even close to being selfish this year.
Lowry's the number one option.
So is CP.
I'm just saying.
And that's with a way worse supporting cast, way worse than what Lowry has. Would you agree with that?
Yes, but Lowry also has a way better record.
How many Thunder players did we rank in this top 40? Shea, that's it. We, like you said, we have Van Vliet. We have Gasol, we have Siakam, and you can make the argument Ibaka is just on the borderline.
You've seen what Kyle Lowry has done, and
I'm not disputing that.
Because I have him in my top 10, I'm not gonna get into his whole case right now.
Okay.
So, all right. Yeah.
Who do you have at 14?
I had Lillard at 14.
Oh, that's right. That nonsense made me forget. Number 13, I have, like what I just mentioned, I have CP3.
Make your case.
Look, everyone wanted to write off CP3 after the last year, saying, oh, he gets injured. You know, him and James are always arguing. All that stuff came out. He gets traded, and it looked done for CP3. Lillard's career is over. Not only was he an all-star this year, but he'll most likely be an All-NBA player. The Thunder are completely defying expectations. They're the fifth seed right now. He just wins. That's it. He just wins these games for them. It doesn't matter who's in the court with him. He's not selfish. Great leader. He's playmaking. Defends. Shooting well. Doesn't have to score a lot, but can still be effective. Like your boy Kyle Lowry. And just what I've seen with him, leadership, and how he's rubbed off on guys like Shea and Gallo and all of them, he's been great. How much better could the season have played out for CP? And like you mentioned before, missed one game. So injuries, can't really use that as much as an argument because he's been healthy. Last year on the Rockets, he missed part of the season, which was, you know, he would have ranked lower. But this year, he's been there. I love CP. Well,
I love CP3 too. I had him 16. He could have been anywhere from 10 to even 18. But Maybe I did rank him too low.
He's in the teens, for sure.
What, ever since some stretch in December, the Thunder have had the best record in the West.
Yeah, they've been great.
He's one of the best by numbers, if not the best clutch player in the league.
I know. I brought this up with Kyle Lowry, but I guess it's an All-Star game, but that atmosphere in the All-Star game was way different than most All-Star games that we've seen recently. And in the last 5 minutes, 10 guys on the court, CP absolutely belonged on that court. Did not care about anyone, was not afraid of anyone, and was going to do what he needs to do.
Look, CP3 reminds me a lot about Lowry. And the difference between Lowry and CP3 is that Lowry has championship experience and has shown up on the big stage.
Come on.
That's why.
CP has not played with a guy like Kawhi.
Played with Harden.
Not cool. Yeah, and if... Bro, they were going to beat the Warriors if he stays healthy. I mean, just straight up. And I get it. He wasn't
Lob City, and he came up short a lot of times. You know that.
And Kyle Lowry came up many times short before Kawhi, so it goes both ways. Except CP3 was in the harder West.
They just are the same kind of player, though. Like, they take what the defenses give them.
Yeah, for sure.
They're defensively
same body type too.
Yeah, they're really the same player. That's kind of funny. But the one thing is, Lowry has that ring on his finger, you know?
Yeah, and CP didn't get to play with Kawhi. And if CP doesn't get injured, they beat maybe the best team of all time in the Warriors. And your boy Steph loses out on the ring. So I'd say he had Harden on that one.
He had Harden.
And then when he gets out, Harden dropped both those games. So what's up?
You know, I can't disagree with CP3 at 13, though.
I can go on about that.
That's perfectly fine with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. So I'll get into 13. I've got Pascal Siakam. He averaged 20 in the finals last year. He can give you some big games. And when he gives you big games, they win. Like, he won game one of Toronto last year in the finals. When he scores less than 20, they're 16-8. When he scores over 20, they're 24-5. Big difference when he's playing good.
You love those stats, like scores more than this amount.
Because I care about guys like when they're scoring.
TJ Warren's one
like,
of those guys.
It impacts the game. Steph Curry's one of those guys.
I know.
Yeah. So Siakam has championship experience. He's averaging like 23, 24 a game. He's their leading scorer for Toronto.
Starting the All-Star game. He's been great this year.
Yeah, he was injured for an 11-game stretch, and they were barely over 500. So he means a lot to that team, too. I love Siakam.
We both love the Raptors. Number 12 I have, who you mentioned earlier, I have Jimmy Butler.
Wow, you got him high.
Like I said before, he's been one of the best leaders. Every team he's gone to has won more with him and lost more without him. And it's just that simple. The dude wins. The dude freaking wins, and you can look. I get the clutch stats about. You can give me all the stats, but he's been an amazing leader. He has definitely rubbed off on the guys well, and he wins. Miami was in the playoffs before he got there, and now they're a 5th-4 seed, most likely second round team. I love Jimmy Butler. Maybe I have him a little high, but I think he's totally in this range. So I get him at 12. Jimmy Butler.
Because of his shooting and his clutch stats, I can't put him that high because that really matters in the playoffs. And it's not like that was just a slump.
What are Zion's clutch stats? Oh, wait, he doesn't even play in the fourth quarter most of the time. So,
come on, let's be real. Zion has a way bigger impact on the game than Jimmy Butler does.
I don't know about that.
Look, Jimmy Butler's it's a small sample big size.
Every team he's been on has won more with him.
I mean, we can say that about Zion.
Oh, stop it.
The thing about Jimmy Butler, that's great and all. They've won, every team he's been on has won more with him, but they haven't won anything big with him. Like, he's about a mid-tier guy. He's nothing.
Well, I'm ranking him off of what I've seen this year, and he's been exceptional this year.
This year, would you say has been his best case scenario?
Yeah. I mean, obviously,
depending on what happens in the playoffs,
but...
And he's still the four seed. He has the ceiling.
Behind Toronto, Milwaukee, and Boston. His supporting cast are nowhere near those teams.
But that's why I make a case that I have guys on Toronto, Boston, and Milwaukee over him.
Yeah, but like, no. This is my thing. Wait. This is my thing with Jimmy Butler. Is just that, look, Boston has a better team. Milwaukee has a better team. If you plug in Jimmy with Giannis, then that seems ridiculous. If you plug in Jimmy.
But I've got Jimmy over Middleton.
No, I'm not saying that, but. Like, you have Lowry over him, and I don't know how Jimmy would fit on that team, but I also don't know how Lowry would fit on Miami.
Look, I'm not so much with the fit. I'm just who gives you the best chance to win a game.
I'm just saying, like, I think about it how guys would fit on multiple teams. Like, it's good. It's great to fit in on on your team. But if I know a guy can fit in on multiple teams, like Steph Curry can fit on basically any team in the league, pretty much. Just amazing teammate, can play off ball. Like, that's why I value him so much. You could plug him on like any situation and it will work out. That's what I value. So, like, for example, Lamar Jackson, that offense is catered around him. If I have a team that's catered around your abilities and you struggle when those abilities aren't catered around you, that kind of tells me a little bit about how much of a player you are.
So how do you feel about these centers like Embiid and Jokic? Because let's be real, they can't fit in with any team.
You don't think Jokic can? He's an amazing playmaker.
Well, the ball's really got to be in his hands or he's not doing that much. Like, Jokic has the ball. If the ball isn't in Jokic's hands, I don't know how much he's offering you.
Yeah, but... pretty much every team in the league besides like maybe three of them would put the ball in his hands. If you put him on Toronto right now,
let's talk Embiid. Because I like Jokic. Embiid cannot fit on any team. But you would still have him ranked pretty high.
Wait, hold up. He plays with Ben Simmons, which is one of the worst fits in the league, and it still manages to be a top 12, 10 player in the league.
Embiid himself makes it the worser fit. Embiid would be a bad fit with a lot of guys.
You keep blaming Embiid for Simmons not fitting in with him. It's not Embiid's problem that Simmons can't fit in with him. You want to know why Embiid doesn't have to cater his style around Simmons? Because Embiid's the better player. That's why.
Because Embiid's the bigger diva?
Oh, no. No, don't do that.
So... which leads me to my number 12 player, Joel Embiid. How do you feel about that?
Oh, there he is. I have him in a similar range, to be honest with you.
Really? I thought you put him higher.
I can't fault it. It's just there are nights where he's the best player in the league, and he's just so dominant. And look, best player on a team that was a fluky bounce away from being the champs, and our boy Kyle Lowry. I value what he's done in the playoffs. I value what he can do on and off, what he can do on the court. I value how great of a defender he is. He'll probably be first team all defense. He wasn't healthy, so maybe not. But he already has two all defensive teams. And you talk about two-way players, dominate the ball, can play inside outside, has a great handle. I'm not saying he can shoot from three, but like he can – he plays on the three-point line sometimes because that team's spacing is messed up, and he still manages to be effective. I love Embiid. I don't know why you have him at 12. I think it's a little too low.
Here's my thing to everyone who believes Embiid is a top player in the league, superstar status. You're ranking him off what he can be and not what he is. To me, he's a guy, has a lot of potential, but he's not even close to what his potential looks like. He can be great, but right now he's the 12th best player in the league. He has bad attitude. He's undisciplined. I remember I was watching the scrimmage the other day.
How does he have a bad attitude?
Because he is unnecessary fouling, lazy rebounding, bad body language. There was a play. He waved off Valanciunas. Jonas made the three right in his face. And he's so trigger happy with his shot selection. It bothers me so much. His shot selection is so shaky, and it's not just a regular season thing. This happens in the playoffs too.
The team's fit is horrible.
I think,
and he still makes it work.
For what he can be, what he's capable of, he's soft. He's soft.
I've seen him destroy players.
Again, like, you've seen
like him manhandle, destroy people. Like
in Toronto, why, game seven.
Like I've seen him destroy people where it's like, why are they even on the court with him? Like, they're not the same species as him.
But that goes off the whole thing. You're ranking off what he can be and not what he really is. Because what he really is come playoff time. Are you doing that? You can, but you're not, because
that's
you're not
one
disciplined up. Enough. You're fouling too much. You're not rebounding as
He averages 13, 14 rebounds a game.
And he's still a lazy rebounder. Could you imagine that? He has really bad body language, which I hate. It, like, he's not a leader. And in Toronto of game seven, he went 1 for 6 on threes. Why are you taking 6 threes in that kind of game? What are you doing, Joel Embiid? Come on.
No, you're right. You're right. You nailed it on. He's so trigger happy. It doesn't make sense, like, some of the shots he takes. And that dumb pump fake. I hate it. He's just so good with all of his flaws.
No, he has the ability to be so good.
And that's why I have him higher.
He's a back-to-the-basket center. And
it still works. And he's still effective. That's like with all of his flaws, he's still so effective.
How effective was he in that Toronto series?
How effective was anyone against Toronto besides a guy named Steph Curry? Like,
Ben
Giannis
looked
bad
when Embiid wasn't on the floor.
Yeah, and how'd Simmons look in the crunch time numbers? How was Simmons looking in clutch time? Because you love
how
those types of stats.
No.
Simmons, like, didn't know where to go on the floor.
Here's the thing. Simmons didn't lose the game for them, and
also
Embiid
part
did.
Of that. Also part. They. What are you talking? Both of them lost the game for them. Embiid did not lose the game.
Simmons is another guy who takes what the defense gives him. That's what I'd rather see than the guy who's out here, trigger happy, weird shot selection, and bad body language. What, like?
Wait, you ranked Simmons lower than Embiid?
Higher.
Wait, you didn't rank Simmons yet?
No.
You watched that Toronto series, right?
You watched the Sixers, right?
Yeah, and Ben Simmons didn't know where to go on the court. Where to go on the court sometimes.
Listen, Simmons is
going to
be...
I saw my Nets team lock him up in a few of those games, too. I saw Embiid destroy us in, like, 20 minutes.
There's going to be some length on my Simmons segment. But Embiid just...
Wait,
you're really just
Simmons so high with all he's done in the playoffs.
Again, let's not get into that yet, because that's for a different day with me for Simmons. But Embiid, you're really just it's what he can be and not what he is. And things like the reason I bring up stuff like bad body language, laziness, fouling that's unnecessary. That stuff that's like attitude. That's not as easy to change as a game, as like your game. Like, unless he really has something like definitive that's like, oh my God, I got to start like caring about winning, being a leader, which might come down the road. But right now, he has no intentions of changing that.
You wouldn't say he didn't show he cared about winning after him like crying after that Raptors series? He clearly wanted to win that series.
He shouldn't have been crying because he was probably crying because he lost in that game.
Oh, God.
If he doesn't take 6 threes in a game where he should, I don't even know why he's 6 threes in game 7 tells me everything I need to know about him.
So just one game tells you everything.
No, for now, we'll see what he does. He has a lot of room to improve.
I can't believe you have Simmons higher than him.
You know, I'm not going to get into it now Simmons, because
Ben Simmons wouldn't have even been playing in these playoffs if they weren't canceled and postponed.
That's not true.
His knee or whatever was wrong with him.
Oh, I thought you meant like if he was on a different team. That's what I thought you were going to say. If Embiid was injured,
and you know how I feel about when players are injured. You got to be available. You got to play. And
you're telling that to Embiid. Embiid. This dude is injury prone.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you act like Simmons has been there the whole time. And what I've seen from them both on the court, Embiid's been the better player. That's my point I'm making. Is where, like, they both have these flaws. Because that's probably the biggest rub with Embiid. That's probably the biggest problem with Embiid is, you know.
Hey, let me ask you this. Is Embiid in your top 10?
Yes.
Hmm.
But barely. So
I could tell you. I could tell he's barely. But I'm telling you.
I have him within like two spots of you.
I'm telling you, if you don't think about what he can be, like the potential of him, you realize he's not a top 10 player. Top 10 players don't do what he does. They don't act the way he does. He's not a top 10 player.
It just seems like kind of a cliche to just be like, he's not top 10 because of the way he acts.
It's true, though.
He's just like, so good. He's so good. He's amazing on defense. He's amazing on offense. He's just he's an amazing player.
When he wants to be.
What?
And then he
has two all defensive teams.
The thing is, he doesn't know what makes him good on offense, and because he's out here taking six threes in a game seven.
He also has one of the worst coaches out of any playoff team.
I think Brett Brown gets on. He's not underappreciated.
Oh no!
But Jesus Christ, you guys bash him.
Yeah, because he doesn't know what to do with Embiid and Simmons, and because their fourth quarter offense is one of the worst in the league. They're like bottom five.
Only five coaches would know what to do with Embiid and Simmons.
I don't know about that. I mean, look, I'm judging Brett Brown off of what he's done in the last 3-4 years. And, you know, they've underachieved. This team is too talented to be that high.
Embiid's underachieved.
That team is underachieved. You focus on the players too much. It's not just an Embiid thing.
Oh, I get it. I'm all for the coaches, but I think Brett Brown gets way too much slander.
All right.
As a basketball person, you've got to understand.
Would you say he's a better coach than than Bud for the Bucks? Coach Bud, would you say he's better than him?
That's really tough.
Would you say he's better than Brad Stevens?
Bud crumbles in the playoffs. No, he's not even close to Brad Stevens.
Yeah. Would you say he's better than Nick Nurse? No.
Not even close.
Would you say he's better than Eric Spoelstra? No, I wouldn't either. Like,
he's not better, but it's not as big as a gap as you think.
But that's what I'm comparing him to is the other coaches in the Eastern Conference, and he's not one of the top ones in my opinion.
People act like he's the worst.
Embiid's one of the top players. Wait, if you just go on the East, like where does Embiid rank in the Eastern Conference? I have just Eastern Conference players. He's like the fourth best player in the conference.
Let me look. I've got him five.
He's top five. Yeah, he's top five.
Yes, but
he's good.
Again, people are really just thinking, man, imagine what he could be. Like,
I've seen him do pretty good things with what he's been able to do. Anyways,
It's like Dwight Howard. Like you thought Dwight Howard. It's like, man, imagine if he could mature.
I'll tell you when Embiid falls off a cliff like Dwight Howard did. And where did Dwight Howard rank when he was in his prime? Second MVP.
But the thing is, Dwight Howard, he was a greater defensive force in a weaker era.
And Embiid was a way stronger offensive force in a better era.
You would think that, but when it comes down to it, He's a better offensive player. But
I'll mention this.
He doesn't know what makes him a good offensive player.
Dwight Howard had the perfect team to fit around him. Just shooters, and but Dwight Howard dominating the paint. Imagine Embiid just had space and shooters, and he could just dominate in the paint. Oh, my God. But he doesn't have that.
You know what he doesn't have? Maturity. Maybe he will.
All right. Discipline. Yeah, here you go.
So that's my – who do you have at 12?
Embiid.
What am I saying? My bad.
You had Embiid at 12. I had Jimmy Butler. I had him higher.
Okay. So we're getting to that.
Last spot, number 11. Who do you have?
Yeah, by the way, guys, we've got to cut it short because we're going over time a little bit.
Yeah.
Or we might.
I know we previously said. Yeah, my bad. Sorry for cutting you off. But we previously said on the last podcast that we were doing 40 through 21 and then 20 through 1. Well, we don't want to shortchange it, and we wanted to talk about everyone more in depth as we got higher up the list. So we're going to do 10 through 1 on the next podcast. That'll be out on Wednesday or Thursday. And again, we're sorry for the inconvenience, but there was a lot to talk about here, a lot to unpack.
Yep. So let's get back to our thing. Number 11.
Wrapping it up, last player we're ranking today. Who do you have at number 11? I feel like we're on the same person.
I don't think so at all. I've got Paul George.
I got Paul George too.
Okay, we're good here. Okay. So I'm going to just say something about Paul George.
My
Pacers bias aside, I don't even know how I feel about him. Sometimes I feel good about him. Sometimes I feel bad. Depends on the day. But straight up, he's likely done being a number one guy on a playoff contender. I think being the number two guy unlocks him. But again, I don't know if he's like how he's going to fare as a number two guy. We've got to see it. Whereas a guy I have higher, Kyle Lowry, I've seen it.
Something I'd like to point out with PG, which I really don't like, and again, maybe it's not his fault, but just the way the Clippers and him in particular, pretty much the whole team has been acting, it's just like he acts as if like he doesn't even care about the regular season, and he's already won like 3 titles, and he's just getting ready to like drop 30, 10, and 10 in the playoffs and be dominant. Like, last time we saw Paul George really, really be dominant in the playoffs was 6 years ago, before his, you know, catastrophic injury in the Olympics. Look, I love Paul George, but the injury rub with him this year, like, has really bothered me. And it's more than one injury. It's his knee, it's his shoulder, it's multiple things. So, I don't know exactly what I'm getting out of him in the playoffs. And what I've seen in the regular season, like, he wasn't even an all-star. He wasn't an all-star, and I have him 11th. Almost top 10, wasn't even an all-star. He's been great. It's just how much he's on the court, and, you know, just his attitude towards the season, I haven't liked it. I really haven't. He's load-managed most of it, and I think it's unfair. I don't like load management. I've said that multiple times. I hate it.
Yeah, you know? I'm with you.
We're rolling on this. PG 11.
These last two podcasts, we've agreed on the same player for the last player of our segment.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell. And you know what? On the next one, I think we're going to agree on number one.
We'll have to see about that.
No spoilers, though. No spoilers, though. He does play in LA, though. That's all I'll say.
For Paul George, I think being the number two is going to unlock him. Kind of. Oh, I already said that. But the thing about Paul George,
he should be really good as number two option with Kawhi to bear the brunt of it.
Yeah, for Paul George, it feels like he can be there. Feels like his game has the stuff, but he just isn't there.
Remember when Joe Ingles outplayed him in like two of those games?
Yeah, I'll get to the playoffs, but he's one of the best defenders in the league.
For sure.
For some reason, I feel like when he's guarding the last shot of the game, it's going in. LeBron,
Lillard.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
His style translates to him being a good closer.
He plays good defense, though.
Yeah, but his style translates to him being a good closer, too. But he's also come up short in way too many moments. Theoretically, sure. His game is great on so many levels, pretty much every level.
On paper, he can't put it together. His game is amazing.
Like top six, top seven, yeah.
Defend, can get to the rim, can shoot, can dunk on people. Like, you know, his game is amazing on paper.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's too passive. At times, his scoring disappears in big moments.
Agreed. And
there's not much he's offering offensively when his shot isn't falling. Like, that's the thing.
Oh, and the biggest hole in his game is his playmaking and elevating others. And that's probably the most important characteristic, I think. Or at least one of them.
Yeah. I'm going to read out his playoff struggles. Playoff games. In 2013, Game 7, Eastern Conference Finals versus Miami, that legendary series, Game 7. 7 points on 2 of 9 shooting.
Jesus. Yeah.
In 2017, it's just the closeout game. It's Game 4. They were down 3-0. He said the Pacers said they weren't getting swept. Then he gets swept. 15 points on 5 of 21 shooting. 2018, Game 6 versus the Jazz, down 3-2. Yep. 5 points on 2 of 16 shooting. 2 of 16 is terrible. And then last year, they're down 2-0 to Portland. He shoots 3 for 16 shooting. Luckily, they win because the rest of the starters are shooting 63% from the field.
Yep.
Like,
and everyone blamed Russell Westbrook for it, for losing that series.
No, it was both of them.
It was. And you ranked PG way higher than you should have on your All-NBA teams.
Well, because of the regular season. I had to do with it a little bit.
But you didn't want to use that. You didn't want to use that same logic with Harden. We're getting off topic, but.
So that's my thing on Paul George.
Now we agree on Paul George.
Yeah.
If he was healthy and he played like a complete, you know, like just like he didn't care, was just dominating games this year and was playing, you know, 33, 34, 35 minutes a game, I'd easily have him top 10. Even with his playoff struggles, because he's that great of a player. It's just, you know, the injury rub and the last playoff struggles, and I don't know how he'll be on the Clippers. The reason why me and you rank the Lakers higher, look, LeBron and Kawhi, you can go either way on it. You can make the argument for either. Davis or PG, you got to go Davis. That's not the argument.
Oh, yeah. Like, you got to go Davis. I don't want to really get into his psyche like that, but I feel like mentally Paul George isn't there. I mean,
I don't want to say that because I still think after suffering an injury like he did, just like putting himself in his shoes, what he's been able to accomplish since that injury has just been remarkable. I don't think he gets enough credit for it.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. He doesn't get enough credit for how good he's looked off his injury.
Yeah, he's superhuman. Honestly, props to PG.
Yeah, so I've got him just outside my top 10. Everyone else in my top 10, I've locked them in as guys who want to win, do what it takes to win, and have the tools. So that's that.
All right. Thank you for listening. Again, sorry for the inconvenience and cutting the list short. We're going to be back on Wednesday or Thursday. We're going to finish out the list. And then we're getting into the season, and we're going to have basketball every day, and life is going to be amazing. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Again, hit us up. Let us know what you want us to talk about on our Gmail at nbatherapy@gmail.com. And thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We appreciate the support. Appreciate the love from you guys and girls. And yeah, can't wait to be back next time. Thank you.
Thank you. Peace.
Bye.